Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CJ Sweat Show. We are live on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Got a little show for you today. It's not going to be long, frankly, because there's not too much to talk about. We're going to get into a little bit of recruiting, some of the signings that are going on. I am actually in the middle of having to update Yotzer. It's actually been a little bit annoying today. It doesn't seem to update properly. But I'm trying to get that updated for you. I'll give you a little bit of rundown of recruiting. And then maybe we'll get to a couple of other things. There's really just not too much going on today. Now, I'll say this. One of the things that I love this game, by the way. I love the game that we play. But I just think that sometimes people take this game way too seriously. I really do believe that, and some people do it to the point where they just make it not any fun. Sometimes this game can become not any fun when people get way too serious about it. And one of the things that happened last week where one coach called another coach a cheater. I've been thinking about this whole situation for a while now. Okay, first of all, the reason a lot of us come here to play, I'm going to open up the chat, by the way, but the reason why a lot of us come here to play is just for the fun of it. A lot of us have stress outside of this game and just in life in general, and so we come in here to play this game. We don't come in here to seek other stress. So I've never really understood why some coaches are so intent on finding another person who they think is cheating. So, okay, now second of all, don't claim or call out another coach for cheating until you are 100% sure that he is cheating and you have enough evidence to prove so. There's no evidence that CFB Finn has been cheating. We found one incident where he had two accounts, one in 1A and one in AA, and yeah, they were in the same world, but what are the rules on WIS? It's about having two accounts in the same division. They can be in the same world. They can even be a division apart. And then beyond any of that, I talked to some of the coaches who were with CFB Fan and in that world around the time that was going on, and they said both of those teams, his Jacksonville State and his Alabama team, were awful. Okay, now, CFB Fan's come on the show. He's actually called in a couple of times beyond the interview he and I had. And I was going to offer him and Cub a chance for them to both come on here, but I really just don't think either one of them can handle it because this actually goes back way beyond what was posted on the forum. Those two coaches go back till about the first version of this game. I mean, to like season one. They've been around a while. I'm not going to have them on just because I think it creates way too much chaos. I don't want the show to become something that enables that kind of attitude. So I'm not going to have them on. But CFB Fan, both of those teams, Jacksonville State and Alabama, were terrible when that was going on. Now, again, he's come on here. We've talked to him before. Listen, he's a smart coach. And this is always the thing I look for when somebody claims another person is cheating or a league is rigged or something like that. The first thing I look for is, does it make sense? Okay, a smart coach, CFB Fan, who's won multiple championships at other schools, if he were going to cheat, don't you think he'd be a little bit better than that? I mean, come on. He's won championships in worlds where that other account wasn't even associated with it. I mean, it's preposterous to go and claim that he's cheating when he's winning championships on his own in the place where you think he's cheating. He's not winning championships. Second of all, and I don't know if you noticed this, and this, again, just from studying at one point when I wanted to be a lawyer, you learn where certain parties go wrong and other people lie. And so when somebody lies, They always have one big claim, okay? And then when they start feeling insecure about that claim being, or about themselves being able to prove such claim, they then throw out another claim, okay? And what they're really doing is they're just trying to throw out anything they can until something sticks. After they realize the first thing they threw won't stick. Okay, so now this other claim against CFB fan is that he's made up other usernames to ask questions and get advice from other coaches to then exploit that advice and game plans. I mean, listen, it's just crazy. It really is. And by the way, this whole collusion thing, I've talked with about a dozen different coaches, most of which are in the Wilkinson world, and they are completely open with their game plan. I know Pete's game plan inside and out, and he still beat me, by the way. So it's not like I was gaining this tremendous advantage. I mean, seriously, I know what other coaches are going to do. I know what other tendencies they're going to have. And it's not like I even need them to really tell me that anyways. I can just go on Yahtzee, analyze the game, and figure out what they're going to do in the next time we play. I mean, it's crazy. People get so fed up with this collusion thing. I'd be willing, okay, if you've ever had a mentor, technically you've colluded. I mean, honestly, if you've ever asked for advice in the GD forums, I could make a case for you having participated in collusion. It's ridiculous. People get so upset about it. I mean, seriously, now, listen. What happened in Rock Team, where you had all of these coaches participating together against one team, regardless of what that coach had done, even if it was deserved? Now, that's real collusion, where they're actually trying to hurt his chances of winning. Now, that's one thing. But the sharing of game plans and stuff and finding out what other coaches do, who cares? Part of the reason I started this show was to get other coaches to come on here and share their information with us. Hey, listen. Guys get so competitive sometimes that it makes things not even fun. Like AAU baseball and AAU basketball is now completely controlled by the parents. And I've talked to people involved in it, and most of them pull their kids out of it because their kids just don't have any fun. Because parents have gotten so wound up in it, and so the idea of AAU baseball and basketball is great. But the problem is parents get too much control and they get too competitive and things just get screwed up. Don't make this thing so complicated and put so much drama into it. You're the one who takes fun away from it. Listen, I mean, there's no significant advantage to knowing what another coach is going to do that, you know, if he told it to you. Who cares? It's not that big of a deal. You're making this game so much less fun by going out and trying to just find that one cheater because you're so excited that if you find this one guy, you'll be held as this hero across the GD community. But really, what you're doing is you're making the game not any fun. You're making people want to leave. I mean, seriously, I have a lot of fun with this game, and the game's just for fun. Listen, if I lose the game, yeah, I don't like losing. But if somebody beats me and they figure out what I'm doing and they put together a game plan that's just better than me, then kudos to them. And I've talked with Pete. Pete does everything he possibly can to help other coaches. Seriously. Any coach could send him a message, hey, I need a mentor, will you help me out? And he'll help you out. I mean, he taught me he helped me learn the ropes to the game. And we ended up playing in a championship together. In the game before the championship, I asked him some advice on semifinals, and he helped me out. And really was a huge help to me winning. He was a huge assist to that. I mean, he helped me get to the championship game where I would play him. And he knew going into that game, I knew all his tricks. I knew everything he ever had. Yeah, I mean, what's the point in getting really competitive and then hiding everything you do? I don't understand the point of it. Now, listen, if you want to hide it, if you don't want to tell anybody what you're going to do, then that's your prerogative, and I'm not going to get upset with you. But, Cub's big deal. Cub thinks nobody should share game plans. I mean, what is the fun in that? Like, seriously. The whole point of this game is to just have fun simulating a game that none of us are ever really going to be able to coach. None of us are going to get to coach at the 1A level. That's why we come in, we play, and we have fun. And by the way, it goes on in real life. It does. Urban Meyer, Bill Belichick, all of them went up to visit Chip Kelly to learn about the system Chip Kelly was introducing at Oregon. They all wanted to learn about it. That goes on. So listen, this stuff, it goes on in real life too. Nobody ever gets upset about it, and nobody should get upset about it. I mean, it's ridiculous too. And listen, CFB fan is on the Coach of the Year committee. And I asked him to be on that committee for a reason. It's because he's a smart guy and he's humble too. I mean, the other thing too, if you want to, and listen, I don't like calling out coaches, but I'm not going to let somebody go in the forums and blast another coach when they don't have any information on that coach cheating. I won't stand for that. And just some of the messages and things I've gotten is ridiculous. And I won't get into that, but I mean, seriously, if you want to know who's in the right, I know for a fact that CFB fan, by the way, he's helped me too. He's given me some tips about recruiting, and he does things completely different than Pete. Completely different than Pete, but it's just interesting to learn about it. CFB fan is completely upfront with how he recruits and his strategy and games and things. I mean, it's completely upfront about it. I've never once heard from Cub about the things he does or his strategy or seeing him offer to mentor others. So listen, and by the way, I don't know if anybody else here has had this before, but a lot of us guys have had these crazy girlfriends. And the crazy girlfriend who, she's so uptight about everything, and she suspects you of cheating just because you send, one random text to a coworker, "Hey, you did a good job on this today," or whatever. And she, somehow has mentally processed that as, "Oh, you're flirting, you're trying to cheat," whatever. But really, if you've ever had that crazy girlfriend, 9 out of 10 times, she's the one cheating on you, doing much worse things behind your back. I mean, listen, that's the way a lot of these things go. And a lot of times you can go look in life and in sports, you'll see coaches and players calling out another for cheating when they're the ones actually doing the cheating. So I never, I have very little trust for someone who's so intent on finding somebody else that's cheating when they don't, when the information's not there. I mean, it's not there. And by the way, Wiss has caught people cheating before. I've seen them catch people. They even one time with Hoops Dynasty, me and a friend just decided to get a free season. This was several years ago. We just decided to get a free season just to kind of test it out. We both ended up in the same division, and we both used my computer. And when we did that, it had the same IP address. So that triggered something with Wiss, and they sent me a site mail about it. We're like, "Hey, what the heck is up with this?" And I was like, "Okay, hold on. This is what's going on." But I mean, they have certain triggers in place to catch other coaches cheating. Okay, and if they catch you cheating, they will ban you from the game. So it's not like this thing incredibly easy to get away with it. Now, do coaches get away with it? Yeah, it goes on. But you can't go and claim another coach is cheating without all of the evidence being there. So listen, I found that to be in incredibly poor taste. Seeing everything that went down in the forums, and CFB fan, he's a prized member of WIS. He really is. He's won a ton of games. He's helped a lot of coaches. So I don't ever like calling out another coach, but I will stand behind CFB fan and what he does. And listen, if he's cheating, listen, if he's cheating, I'll shut down the radio program. I will, if that's what Cub wants. If Cub can prove he's cheating, then I'll shut down the radio program. Because I will put my name on the line that that's not going on. I really will. I don't see it. And again, if he's doing it, then he's awfully bad at it. So, it's like the whole NBA thing. People are like, "Oh, the NBA's rigged." Yeah, the NBA certainly loves that Cleveland, Ohio, and Oklahoma City are two of their biggest franchises right now. I'm sure they love that those two cities are doing all the winning and that New York and LA are awful. I mean, I'm sure the NBA loves that. I mean, seriously, just think about your conspiracy theory before you release it out into the world. I mean, "Oh, I saw Bigfoot." No, you didn't. You saw some idiot dressed as a gorilla in the woods. I mean, just think things through sometimes. Put down the bag of Cheetos, throw some clothes on, and think things through. I just get sick of hearing all the claims for cheating when it's not there. It's just not there. And so we're going to get into recruiting. I'm telling you right now, there are a couple of teams that are really making some noise. Jeff 18 at Texas A&M picks up what I believe is the best quarterback right now in 1A in Thomas Waters. Now Notre Dame picks up the guy that Wiss loves and Henry Short, and then they also picked up Rick Cooper, who's another quarterback, and I do like Rick Cooper a lot. I think he's great. He might even end up being better than Henry Short. We'll see how that plays out, but those are two very good quarterbacks signed by Notre Dame. And Notre Dame right now, and I don't know how Guess is going to play out on Thursday, but if I had to put money on anyone, I'd say Notre Dame is going to have one of the best classes right now. They are just, they have hit home runs all over the place. And I mean, by the way, what a time for somebody to claim CFB fan is cheating, because he's hitting home runs in recruiting. And by the way, it's built for his offense. It's not just he's getting the best players. Everything is just built right now for his offense. It really is. I'm completely impressed with what he's done. By the way, Florida State and Miami have done a great job. Tennessee, again, that's another first-year coach over there with a great recruiting class. He's got some really nice running backs. Rutgers and Penn State look very good. Now, this running back, Paul Powell, that USC picked up, and they're also trying to get David Waller. If they pick up both of those guys, I mean, seriously, that's going to end up being one of the best classes out there. It's a top five class. It's very, very good. Again, I really feel like Alabama is going to make a real run at this championship. I really do. Alabama, I think, has got a great shot. Pittsburgh, I think, has a great shot. Notre Dame, I don't think, is going to be there yet. But, I mean, listen, at J-Hard 70, he's a good coach. He was a great coach at Notre Dame. But you can just see the change going on over there. And overnight, CFB fan has taken Notre Dame from what was a top 15, top 20 program and turned them into a top 5 power. I mean, just instantly, it's like they flipped a light switch and they're competitive. It is amazing the job he is doing in recruiting over there. I'm completely impressed. Okay, I've got a call here, but the number is 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1, so I'm going to hang that up. Now, I looked at South Florida, so MacD, I did look at what you're doing, and you're doing a decent job, but, you know, the thought I had crossed my mind is it is so incredibly tough to recruit in Florida for 1A. I loved being down there in 1AA because there was nobody down in Miami, so Jacksonville was really kind of the perfect spot because if I didn't find the guy that I wanted in Florida, I wasn't far from Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi, really. So I could always find replacements. And then I could always go down to Miami, and regardless of who I was competing against, I would be the closest 1AA school to Miami. So I love Jacksonville. But, you know, I was thinking about this as far as 1A is concerned. I don't feel like Miami and South Florida are in a great position. And Miami, really, as far as elites go, that might be the worst elite. Because not only are you surrounded by Florida State and Florida, who are just right there, and Alabama's not far either. If you try to go anywhere outside of the state, I mean, really, if you go, like, more than 300 miles away, you are no longer the closest school. As a matter of fact, if you go like more than 300 miles away, you're now two elites behind the closest school. So, listen, I don't think it's a great recruiting spot. I really don't. I don't think South Florida is a great recruiting spot either. Now, South Florida, a lot of people get confused about that. South Florida is not actually in the southern part of Florida. It's in Tampa. I believe Tampa's kind of in the panhandle. I get confused between that and Jacksonville, but I think Jacksonville is just north of Orlando, and Tampa's kind of in the panhandle. Orlando's center of the state, and that would be central Florida. And then Miami, obviously, is in the very southern tip of the state. But, you know, South Florida, you do have Georgia, and you can go get a couple of those guys, but you're surrounded by, like, four elites. I would not want to have anything to do with that area of the country. I really wouldn't. There's so many human coaches down there, 1A and 1AA. that I just think it's incredibly tough to recruit. I really, really do. So I'm not a big fan of the availability of recruits down there. Now, I like what's out in California. And I think you could compare the number of recruits coming out of Florida to the number of recruits coming out of California. Both of those states produce a bunch of recruits. And I think, you know, California is a little bit more spread out. Now, USC and Stanford are right on top of each other. So if a coach moves into Stanford, that makes the things a little bit difficult there. But really, it's a much better place to go and recruit. You've got Nevada. You've got Northern California to go and get guys. New Mexico is kind of open. So you can always find a neighboring state that doesn't really have elite in it, or even a big 1A program in it, and go grab a guy. So I love what's available out there in the West. Okay, I'm going to update Yatsu real quick. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. We're going to discuss. I've got one big note on recruiting. It's something I want to get to, a little bit of a rant here. Then we'll run through a couple of notes. I'm going to give you the team I think is really making leaps and making a big surprise in 1A, and then the team I think is making a big surprise in 1AA. We will be right back. This is the CJ Split Show. What?
When the saints come marching in, we roll so deep that they can't believe we sold out seats to them CDs. Please don't sleep on the beat. I beat up these, still don't get it what you keep up, please. We ain't no heroes for selling. You bought one, better keep your receipts. Okay, I get it. I know what they thinking. We some kumbaya singing, corny Christians. Keep your dishes, buy a ticket to a concert, pay a visit. Think it's odd, we them blues brothers. 116 on a mission from God. I don't think they get it. I really think what they gotta do with the is to believe it. I wasn't planning on leaving them. Giving a microphone with no gimmicks. I really live it. It's a minute. I'm in a condona, but I don't get that. If you ever wanna get it, what's up? Then come and get it. I want them to. I got it. And tell them we really with them. They thinking that I'm tripping because I'm living for more than just rapping. What is what happens when it's sad? Go marching in. Go marching in. Go marching in. Go
marching in. Ah, CJ Sweat Show. We are back here again. Beautiful Saturday. Really excited about this. All right, I am going to take a call. The area code is 626. If you cuss, you're going off. You are on the CJ Sweat Show. Who do I have?
How you doing? This is Henry Short from Lawrence Central, the number one recruit in the country.
Oh, my gosh. This is the most hilarious thing. Okay, how are you doing, Henry?
I'm doing real good. Love your show, CJ.
So how do you feel about going to play Notre Dame? Now, by the way, are there certain NCAA restrictions about what we can and can't discuss?
No, that's not. I don't think so. I think we're okay, CJ.
All right. I don't want to get you in trouble. So how do you feel about signing Notre Dame and going to play for CFB fan?
Well, I'll tell you what. Coach CFB took a lot of pressure off me right away because I was really torn between Tennessee and Notre Dame. But Coach CFB told me before recruiting – Grant is a good friend of his, and they met. They decided which recruits are going to split up, and I fell with CFB, so that took me off Tennessee's list, so I feel made it really easy for me.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You know, a lot of controversy surrounding CFB fan. What was the biggest reason that you signed with him? What was kind of his recruiting technique and the thing that drew the most interest to him and his style of coaching?
It had to be the booster gifts, the throwback jersey, the money, and the the cash and the promises. It was that probably really swung me the most.
Oh my gosh, this is the funniest thing. Okay, now what do you think? Okay, so you're in the Big Ten. I mean, this conference, it's tough. This conference is just packed. So, what do you think about competing in the Big Ten, and are you kind of in a need to play right away, or do you want to sit, watch the veteran for a little bit, and then maybe get to play and hopefully compete when you're a junior?
Well, you know, I thought about that when I went to the Big Ten. There's a lot of schools there, a lot of good schools, a lot of elite programs. But CFB told me that he runs three of those elite programs with different aliases, so it shouldn't be that tough for me. So that really swayed me, too.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay. Now, I got to ask this, Henry. Okay, you're from Indiana. Where did this accent come from?
I grew up down south, and my family moved early part of my freshman year.
So, okay, if you grew up down south, now I know that's where CFB fan is from as well. Did you kind of know him at maybe a younger age?
Well, I did, actually. I was he was a family friend, and he really won me over with his jokes. He had this one joke, how to go. He said there was an Indian, a crocodile, and a panda bear walking into a gay bathhouse, and they said, "Hey, Gina, what you doing there?"
Okay. I had to meet him. Oh, my gosh. That's about the funniest. Okay. He's gone. Wow. I have to say, that is the first time in the history of this show that a recruit has ever called in. That's ridiculous. Oh, my word. I'm so sorry. I apologize for the inappropriate joke there at the end. You know, like, you listen to these shows on ESPN and you listen to Fox Sports and those things. They screen their callers, and then they also operate on about a 30-second to a 1-minute delay. So if anything, I guess similar to that last joke happens, they can just, you know, quickly edit it out and move on. And, I mean, they do such a great job of it. You really, like, you have no idea that anything like that has happened. But, you know, I don't have that. That was, despite the joke, that was about the funniest thing that I think has ever happened in this show. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's get back to recruiting here. Note, that was Henry Short joining us, apparently, although I have this crazy suspicion that it's potentially CFB fan calling in as his own quarterback that he just recruited. Shoot, I really should have asked him about being recruited in the same season that Rick Cooper, his other quarterback, was recruited in. That would have been a little bit of a fun debate. And then wonder if Rick Cooper would have also caught in. Would have been interesting to get those two talking. Okay, so, you know, recruiting right now, 1AA. The team that has really surprised me the most and just done a fantastic job is Maryland. I'm sorry, 1A. 1A. Maryland has put together one of the most incredible classes for a team up there. Okay, listen, they're surrounded by Penn State. Rutgers is just to the north. If they go west, they run into a bunch of Big Ten schools. If they go south, then they run into SEC and other ACC programs. I mean, that is just, they are doing an excellent job recruiting up there. Is it still COEJDS up there? I believe he's still the coach up at Maryland. I'll try and get that for you, but, I mean, he has signed. That is the coach up there. And, by the way, his best season since he's been there, which hasn't been very long. He's been there for, this is his fourth season. They did win 12 games his first season, but they've gotten worse ever since. Last season they only won 5. But you look at this class, he's picked up 3 in the top 50 nationally, 4, and then he's got another one at 51st nationally, according to WIS. And I do believe that those rankings matter. Now, I'm not a big fan of the position roles that are the default settings, but those national rankings, yeah, that certainly matters. And then he's got 4 guys on the top 10 position, or in the top 10 ranking at their position. Maryland's done just a great job recruiting. I mean, they look fantastic early on. I'm so impressed with what they've been able to put together with the resources that have. And they've gone into, you can look at this recruiting class, they've gone into Pennsylvania, they've gone into New York for these kids. Christopher Johnson, a tight end, they went into Pennsylvania to get him. They went down into Chester, Virginia, which is right outside of Richmond. It's actually really close to where I'm at, to pick up a tight end. They went into Connecticut to get a good receiver, Ronnie Coleman. I mean, that class, top to bottom, is just stacked. I really like what they're doing. Now, the class I don't like is Florida State. That, to me, that might be the worst class of the elites going on right now. Florida State, Miami's not put together a great class either, but Miami has the saving grace in Peter Collier, who's the best running back in the country, and the third best recruit, according to WIS. So, you know, I'll give them a little slack. UNC has also really struggled this season. They've only picked up two recruits. Boston College has a good class, not a great class coming in, but it's a solid class that I think could develop nicely. But Maryland, I mean, you're looking right now at that ACC, Maryland has just absolutely hit it out of the park. Now, the class right now in 1AA that I think is going to potentially be one of the best classes in the country is UMass. This class, I mean, he's not picked up one bad recruit. And then the kid that I just think is going to be fantastic is Edwin Lee, this quarterback. His game instinct is a 75. Now, his technique's down to a 43, so it's not great by any means. He's definitely going to have to work on that. But he's got a good work ethic. I think his potential is actually pretty good. If he just improves a little bit, I really think that is a fine quarterback that they picked up. And then Dennis Decker's a good running back. They picked him up. He's got high hands, so he'll be good out in the flat to catch a couple of short passes. He's got good elusiveness, good speed. UMass right now putting together a very solid recruiting class. I really have to say I'm impressed with what they've done. I'm a little worried about Jacksonville. They have not signed one recruit, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. Now, that's the place I was at. Morehead State has put together a great class as well. They've got a bunch of kids on the top 100 in their position. And they did sign Peter Cox out of Richmond, Virginia, who's played at Meadowbrook High School. This kid's very, very good. His tackling is just through the roof. So that tackling, I think, is very important, especially if you're going with a 4-3 or a 3-4. The tackling of a defensive back, what that does, is it limits those big plays. So I think Morehead State is in a really good position there. And I am very, very concerned with what is going on with Jacksonville. Again, not one recruit signed, so I really hope that's not a program that's getting ready to maybe fall by the wayside, similar to how California State has done in the past few seasons. Now, I got to wonder about this. JT Walsh mentioned he'd be out of town during recruiting, but Weber State's having a great first class. I mean, he's done just a fantastic job, so I'm not exactly sure if he's actually out of town or if he was just making a joke to make us all think he was. But, I mean, he's having a great class. I think Weber State's going to be a nice program in a few seasons. And, by the way, if you look around WIS, Weber State's actually had a lot of success over the past several seasons. Over the history of the game, it's a school that if you go through every world, a lot of people have success there. Holy Cross has struggled in recruiting. Yale's got a good class coming in. And we mentioned how tough recruiting would be coming into this season. Now, you look over here. Let's see. Let's go over here to the Ohio Valley and kind of see what's going on over there. Eastern Illinois with a decent class. Babcock's done a very good job over there. Pete 61, first season, and I mean, he's hitting it out of the park. He's picked up a quarterback named Melvin Williams, who's got a great technique, good game instinct, good hands. I think he'll develop nicely. They picked up some very solid linebackers right off the bat, so that's going to fit great with that 3-4 defense. And then how about Coach James T? First season at Jacksonville State, he didn't pick up a lot of great recruits with that offensive line, but he got some good linebackers, a good secondary, a good quarterback in Brandon Cabrera. I have to say, first season there, it's not a bad class. Coach James has done a very good job in his first class at Jacksonville State. Okay, now one problem. Now I'm going to get to this rant, and then we'll be out of here. Again, told you it'd be a bit of a short show today. One problem that was mentioned in the discussion board with pertaining to recruiting is it was a D2 coach who complained about having a recruit that was green, and I'm guessing he was green as of around the 9 a.m. recruiting cycle. And then by the time we get to the noon recruiting cycle, he goes from green to actually signing with a 1AA program. So he was green for a D2 school, then signed with a 1AA program. And I'm not exactly sure which coach went and did that, but that to me, I think that is incredibly I think that is incredibly selfish. I really, really do, because here's the thing. Now, in 1A to 1AA, it's definitely different if a 1A school poaches a 1AA school recruit. But in 1AA Division II, I was at Morehead State. I was at Jacksonville. When I was first at Morehead State, I was building a program, one that was really terrible before I was even there. And even then, there was never a situation where a Division II recruit, even the best Division II recruit, ever made sense for me to sign them. Ever. It never made sense. There's just a vast disparity between the worst 1AA guy you could sign and the best Division II guy you could sign. So I don't understand why anyone feels the need to go and poach a Division II recruit, especially if a new coach who doesn't have any postseason money to work with, and especially waiting until that time frame. Now, listen, you do have to understand that this game, when you're at a lower division, someone from a higher division may go and grab one of your guys. It's going to happen. And I think it's happened to all of us at least once or twice. And when I was in 1AA, it happened every single season. But the timing is what really ticks me off about the situation. If I'm going to poach a guy, and by the way, I had to go down to 1AA and get a couple guys this season, but if I'm going to do it, I do it early on. Because what that does is it allows a coach to kind of adjust and say, okay, well, now there's a big 1A program on my guy. I'm going to have to drop out of this and then relocate funds. But when you wait until the cycle just before signing, the problem that happens is the guy in the division beneath you doesn't even see it's coming. He's got absolutely no fighting chance. And he's counted on this guy being green this guy signing with him the whole time. It's sniping. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm really not. And listen, we've had a couple of times where a 1A elite has gone and taken a guy from another 1A program, and it's kind of been last minute, but it's never been sniped like that. That usually doesn't happen. We've had times where 1A guy has had to go down and steal a recruit from 1AA guy. That happens. But that's because, I mean, if you go and look, the best 1AA class would get about 20th to 25th in 1A. So there's a lot of parity at the 1A to 1AA level. A lot of these top 1AA teams could actually compete with some of the better 1A programs. So these 1AA guys actually have a bit of a chance. Division II, though, it's not like that way at all. Like, the best Division II team would be like 60th in 1AA. I mean, it wouldn't even be close. So I just, you know, those Division II guys, they don't have the money to compete. I don't understand why you even want a Division II recruit to begin with. And just sniping it, again, it's another situation where it's in bad taste, and I just think it's a situation where somebody gets way too competitive. This game's just supposed to be for fun. I mean, seriously, these kind of things, you know, when you have coaches come out calling out other guys for cheating when they've got no proof of it, and then you've got sniping like that going on, it puts a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like it at all. I just wish people would take this game a little bit lighter. I mean, it's supposed to be fun. I'm glad people compete. I do kind of wish people would take a little bit more public jabs at each other to make, you know, to kind of develop some more rivalries. That would be a lot of fun. But this kind of stuff, just blindsiding somebody like that, it's overly competitive. It's overly crazy. There's no real point to it. I don't know why that kind of stuff has to go on. And that's kind of where I wish the culture of this game would change a little bit. But, again, anyways, that was my big beef for the day. I saw that go on, and I hate to see that, especially for a new Division II coach that's just gone up. And, I mean, it's his first class at Division II, and he's, you know, a lot of those guys, they don't know what they're doing, first of all. They don't have any playoff money to work with, second of all. And you as a 1AA program are going to be viewed higher by the recruit. So it's just, to me, it doesn't make any sense. It's like challenging a boxing match. It's like, it would be like a heavyweight challenging a lightweight to a boxing match. What would be the real point of it? Of course, the heavyweight's going to win. It's just kind of cowardly, really. I don't really understand it. So Anyway, saw that it went go on today and didn't really like it. I thought I should mention it. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We will be back next week. I think we're looking at having a show on Wednesday. I'll keep you updated on that. I'm probably looking at a Wednesday 3 p.m. show and then hope to be back Friday for our Friday 3 p.m. show that we typically have. Going to try and have a couple of interviews for you. And then again, Saturday of next week, we will have the first game of the season. So this midweek show, the Wednesday show, is going to be the dawn of a season rankings, which I know you guys always look forward to. I look forward to doing them. I put more research into that show than any other show. I will evaluate close to 40 to 50 teams in each division. I've already started evaluating teams now, kind of seeing where guys are at. Again, it's just a lot of fun to kind of predict where certain teams are going to end up. For me, I have more fun with 1A before the season starts than I do 1AA, and then I have more fun with 1AA once the postseason starts than I do for 1A's postseason, mostly because there's nothing left to determine with 1A. And 1AA, you get a whole entire playoff that plays out, so it's a lot of fun. Anyways, dawn of a season rankings next week. We will be live in 3 p.m. Looking forward to Wednesday. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. This is the CJ Sweat Show. What?
When the tanks come marching in, we roll so deep that they can't believe we sold out seats to them CDs. Please don't sleep on the beat. I beat up these, still don't get it with your keep up, please. We ain't no heroes to sell. If you bought one, better keep your receipt. Okay, I get it. I know what they're thinking. We some kumbaya singing corny Christians. Keep your dishes. Buy a ticket to a concert. Pay a visit. Think it's odd. We them blues brothers. 116 on a mission from God. I don't think they get it. I really think what they gotta do is see it to believe it. I wasn't planning on leaving them. Giving them a microphone with no gimmicks. I really live it. It's a minute. I'm in a good note, but I don't get that. If you ever wanna get it, we'll tell them to come and get it. I want them to. I got it. And tell them we really put them. They thinking that I'm tripping because I'm living for more than just rapping. Well, that's what happens when it's sad. Go marching in. Go marching in. Them boys sold out, no promo. Said they give it 2 years, it'll go cold. But they work got eight like Ocho. I'ma give it 300. In the street, probably wanna see us go on. But we in it, we in it, we live it, we do it. Our dog gon' do what it want on. We fragrant, the aroma is the I got say. Married to the rock and I'm faithful to take these words beyond say. Don't it feel like we famous? For the world to know what our name is. But heaven knows us, baby. The last book of life is that A-list, so I bow. I'm so rich and I ain't talking about cheddar, but I bet cold Christ go and talk to the teller. Cause the checks that I get, I be catching forever. Yeah. Dabbing the same time, get the same gold. They be lacking the pay tab, make it straight, man. We ain't lacking the same back with the fake pay. By the blood of the lamb, that is paid, that is paid.
Rich towards God.
Oh, when the same, go watch it, go watch it.
Been told about us, but we gon' love them even though they doubt us, yeah. We just visitin' it like we some mad Italians, Dad, I'm asking us how is this guy turned out in the showers, like, hold up, we done made it think we better, cow is perfect, no liver, but we glad to be cow same, cause while cow is dead in them letters, we set apart for the Savior, he's led our hearts to the maker, forget the art that we making if we never love our neighbors, you might catch us whistling, march to the spot, trick glistening, standing cause we feel with them, you might wanna listen in, but that ain't damn any rain, any roads, here they ain't go with just again, that's what makes us love our neighbors, we not get so little
to be. Don't watch me, don't watch me, don't watch me, don't watch me, don't watch me.